Turn to Proverbs 4:19. Proverbs 4:19. It says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." So this is in contrast to what was just written there of the path of the just, which is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. But the wicked, their way is darkness. Darkness is absence or want of light, total or partial. Figuratively, it is the want of spiritual or intellectual light, especially common in biblical imagery. So the wicked don't have light on their path. They're stumbling around, groping in the darkness. Makes sense because they follow their father, the devil, who is the prince of the powers of darkness. Ephesians 6:12. Satan doesn't like to keep his followers' paths illuminated, though he does masquerade as an angel of light from time to time, we're told in 2 Corinthians, but he prefers to keep people in darkness. It's a lot easier that way. Can't see where they're going. Can't see the pitfalls that are waiting for them. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The rulers of the darkness of this world. And we're talking about principalities and powers, spiritual principalities and powers here. And one thing you always want to remember, and we get irritated, at least I do, and I'm sure the rest of you do, you get irritated with politicians in high places, but just remember that our warfare is spiritual. And there are devils that are animating those people. And, I mean, if you don't think that this whole coronavirus thing is spiritual warfare from the devil, then I think you haven't been paying attention. Because to me, the more I think about it, there is no way that this is just a natural response to a virus, which the virus is, you know, kills like 0.25% of the people, you know, and most of which are over 80 and they're going to die in a few months anyway, naturally. But you can't tell me that a worldwide, global, insane response to a virus that's like the flu, basically, and shutting down entire countries and economies and churches and businesses and making everybody walk around with masks on. And you can't tell me that is a natural reaction to a flu, basically. There's no way. So it has to be a satanic global conspiracy. I don't see any other way around it. It has to be that. And, you know, who he's animating and who's pulling the strings and who's, you know, and how deep it goes. And if, you know, maybe a lot of the people are just covering their butts and they just don't want to be the ones that'll get in trouble if somebody gets sick. So they're going along with all this stuff. I don't know how deep the conspiracy goes, but I am convinced it is a satanic spiritual conspiracy. There's no doubt in my mind about it. And I mean, and what do we read? This is kind of definitely a rabbit trail here, but what do we read in like Revelation 13 and other places in Revelation where it talks about the mark of the beast and no man can buy or sell except they have the mark? I mean, heck, you can't even hardly get into a store. They want you to wear a mask, and if you're not wearing the mask, right, and talking about digital IDs for the vaccination proof and all that stuff, I mean, it's got Satan's fingerprints all over the whole thing. But I don't want to get you, despondent or anything, because God's still on the throne and we don't have to worry about it. But just know that the powers that we're fighting against are not just politicians that aren't all that bright. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. So these people don't have the light of the Word of God to illuminate their way. They don't have the light of Christ in their hearts to guide them. Therefore, they walk in darkness. John 8:12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So when we follow Christ, like we talked about in the last verse, then we have that light which shines ahead of us as we go step by step. But when you don't have it, We're walking in darkness. And this is what these people are. When you follow Christ, he guides us, right? But when you don't follow him, he doesn't guide you. He doesn't give you understanding. He doesn't give you hope that he has us, right? So he is our light and our hope and our understanding, but he's not that for the wicked because they don't believe in him. In the scripture, wisdom is likened unto light and folly is likened unto darkness. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 13. It says, then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. So wisdom is likened unto light. Darkness is likened unto folly. Wise men walk in light. Fools walk in darkness. Verse 14, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. So sadly, as Solomon shows us here in Ecclesiastes, one event happens to them all, even though wise people walk in light. Some bad stuff happens to them. And though fools walk in darkness, good things happen to them. Right? Good and bad happen to good and bad alike. But ultimately, he that feareth God shall come forth of them all, as it says. So even when you see good things happening to bad people or bad things happening to good people, just remember, in the end, it always pays off to follow God. It always pays off to walk on the path of the just and be wise.
Which verse is that? Where can you find that verse?
Oh, that's a good question. I can't remember. I'll have to look that one up for you afterwards. He that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Yeah, it's in Ecclesiastes, I'm pretty sure. I'll have to look that one. Remind me, I'll look that one up later.
Okay.
And then the second part of the verse here says, they know not at what they stumble. So those that walk in darkness, they don't know where they're going. John 12 and verse 35. And this is speaking, of course, in a spiritual sense here, but the imagery that is used here is used so that we can easily understand it. When you're walking in darkness, you don't know where you're going, right? And when you're walking in spiritual darkness, you don't know where you're going, spiritually speaking. John 12 and verse 35. John 12 and verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Take advantage of the light while you have it, because the evil days come, and they're days of darkness when the eyes get dim and so on. And Jesus was specifically speaking of himself being in the world here. Walk while you have me to follow. If you walk in darkness, you don't know where you're going. Now, spiritual darkness blinds the eyes. 1 John 2 and verse 11. This can happen when we hate our brethren. If we hate our brethren, if we hate our brother, John tells us that we walk in darkness. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And that's why we always want to repent of these heart sins like hatred and bitterness and resentment and things like that. Because if you let that build up, it blinds your eyes and you can't see. For one thing, you can't see the good qualities in the person that you've built up all this resentment against. Anytime you're feeling resentful of somebody, just start thinking about the good qualities that they have. And just list off all the good things you can think about that person. And then that'll help to bring down the things that you don't like about them and put them in perspective. I've found that that's quite useful. So people that are walking in darkness, that are blinded by sin of whatever it might be, they stumble their way through life. Because as you know, if you're walking, you know, when you go out early in the morning, when you're going out to the deer stand, to the tree stand, and it's dark out, you can't see where you're going, it's easy to stumble. Well, it's the same way spiritually speaking. When you don't have light, you end up stumbling along and tripping. And because of their blindness, they don't even know what they're stumbling over. Therefore, they don't know what to avoid because they don't have the light of Scripture and wisdom to illuminate the stumbling blocks. See, when you have the Scripture, which is light, that will alert you to certain things and people and situations that you want to avoid, the stumbling blocks. But when you don't have the Scripture, you don't have the knowledge of the Scripture, and you don't have that light, it's not alerting you to the types of people you should stay away from, the situations you should avoid, the habits you should avoid, right? So, I mean, I think it's fairly easy to see the spiritual application used in naturalistic terms when you have stumbling blocks and a dark path, right? And the Scripture illuminating it by pointing those things out to you so that you can avoid them. So instead of the Word of God being a lamp unto their feet, they rather stumble at the Word because they don't understand it. Look at 1 Peter 2 in verse 8, which talks about people stumbling at the Word. Because even if you have people that profess to be believers, if they reject what God says and God takes the understanding away from them, they may have the Bible, but it's not a light to their path because their eyes have been, they have scales on them and they can't see anymore. And when they read the Bible, it's just confusing to them, or it's just downright misleading to them, because there's enough in this Bible and it's written in such a way that it can easily mislead you. And you think, well, why would God write it that way? I'll give you a verse that just says he did it. Why would he do that? Well, because he wants to mislead people that deserve to be misled, people that are not willing to repent and seek him and keep his commandments and do what he says. They deserve to be misled, and God's written his book in such a way that it can easily do it. And I've seen it happen with people before. 1 Peter 2 and verse 8. It says, "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." So you have people here that God had appointed to stumble at the word. And I'll show you how he does it here in Isaiah 28 and verse 13. It's so neat because this Bible is written in such a way that if you study it the way that it's meant to be studied, it can be understood. But if you don't study it the way that it has to be studied and you go about it a different way, the very way in which it's put together will deceive you. And I'll give you the verse here. He says, let's just start with verse 9. It says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts." So those that are ready to move on unto perfection, as Paul says, that are ready for strong meat and not just the milk of the word. "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little." That's how you're made to understand doctrine, by reading the Bible and comparing precept upon precept and line upon line and here a little, there a little. So you find a little bit here that talks about a certain topic, and then you do a comparative word study and you find where that same thing is talked about in a different place, and you compare them line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and you let the Scripture explain itself. Instead of doing what a lot of people do, is just reading a verse and then coming up with what I think it means or what it sounds like it might mean. And people come up with all kinds of hokey ideas because they're not studying the Bible here a little, there a little, line upon line, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So that's how it's to be studied to understand it. But what happens to people that don't do that? Verse 13 says, "But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." It's given, it's the same way to the righteous and to the wicked. To the righteous, it makes them understand doctrine. To the wicked, it makes them to go and fall and be snared and taken and fall backward because they don't study it the way that it's supposed to be studied. They just read a verse and come up with some wild interpretation of it. Thus, the wicked end up falling into sin, false religion, and foolish decisions. And I've seen people do this, who have turned from following Christ, and all of a sudden their understanding is taken away. It's as if they're walking on a path of darkness. They don't understand the word. They stumble at the word. And they come up with all kinds of crazy interpretations and heretical doctrine from the very same Bible that you and I are reading. But to them, it's a stumbling block instead of a light to their path. I've seen it happen. You've seen it happen too. So let's be like verse 18 on the path of the just, which is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day, not the path of the wicked, which is as darkness, who know not what they stumble.